Psalm 26 and 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. This is our text. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. That is our goal. That is our end game. That's what we're trying to get to, is holy habitation where the glory of God dwells here. Now, where do we get this language from? Where do we get this psalm from and this language from? Well, you've probably heard it said before, and the Bible declares it. If you've read the Bible, you've read it there, that David was a man after God's own heart. And because of that, because of David's private worship and intense worship, playing songs and singing songs to the Lord, David, at some point in time in his life, got caught up in the Spirit. And when he got caught up in the Spirit, he saw, either he had a vision, because we're not told when it happened, but either had a vision or a dream or a revelation of worship in heaven. And he became so obsessed by it that he wanted to create heaven on earth. So David became obsessed with creating this environment that he saw in heaven, a place filled with musical instruments, a place filled with choirs and singers, and David could not rest. So he made this vow to the Lord. He made this vow to the Lord that he wanted to bring heaven to earth. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm ready for heaven to come to earth. I'm ready for heaven to come to earth. So when David set up the tabernacle of David, he had one goal. I want to recreate the scene that I saw in heaven where the glory of God inhabited and dwelt there. So David made this covenant to the Lord, and this covenant is recited. I'll show you when he made it, but also it's recited in Psalm 132. So look at this with me. Lord, remember David and all of his afflictions, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob, surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids. Look at verse 5. Until, everybody say until. Until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. Behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. That is Bethlehem, by the way. So how many of you remember when Micah was prophesying the birthplace of Jesus and he calls it Bethlehem Ephrathah? He does that in Micah 5 and 2. And the reason he calls it that is because this is the land of Ephraim, and Ephrathah is the female version of the male word Ephraim or Ephraim. So Ephrathah is like saying my name is Brian, but if your name is Brianne, then it's basically the same name. One is the masculine form and the feminine form. And so that is what Ephrathah is. It's the feminine form of the word Ephraim. So that is where David is saying, because see, David was born in Bethlehem. So he's saying, as a kid, I heard about this great ark. As a child, I heard about the holy place of God. So this is what he's recanting here. And we found it in the field of the woods. And that is also marking a particular place outside of Shiloh. So let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, and you and the ark of your strength. So I want you to notice two things in this verse. David has declared two things. He said, I want you to find a dwelling place and a resting place. In verse 5, he says, I want it to be a dwelling place. In verse 8 and verse 14, he says, I want it to be a resting place. So understand this. This is entirely different from the Holy Ghost move tonight. This is entirely different from, I felt the presence of the Lord tonight. No, this is not the same thing. This is not the same thing as a visitation. We used to sing songs when I was a kid like, reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Anybody ever remember that song? Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. And as a child, I'm thinking, he's walking by. We better get him before he leaves. Because I just thought that, and I remember them saying, welcome the Holy Spirit into the house tonight. And I was just hoping he would show up. It's like, yes, he showed up. It took me a long time to realize that it was already his house, and we don't have to welcome him. He's the one who welcomed us. So he met us. He's the greeter. He's the one that said, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And it took me a while to understand that language, because all I could grasp is divine visitation. God comes down and blesses us and leaves. God comes down and anoints us. And then I even heard ministers say, I got to stop because the anointing is leaving me. The anointing is lifting off of me. And all of that language that we adopt in the church made me stop and think, well, maybe God doesn't stay here. Maybe he just shows up at church time, but not an occasion on a Wednesday night service, right? Maybe God just comes occasionally. And as a kid, I didn't know any way to grasp or wrap my head around that. That's not what we're talking about. David said, after he got this revelation, I will not rest until I create a place that is just like heaven, that there is so much worship. There is intentional worship. Intentional. Everybody say that, intentional worship. That means I planned for it. I went over it. I declared it. I wanted it. I chose the songs. I wanted an atmosphere where people would enter in. I chose songs they would sing. You know, I love it. Thank you, Braden, for singing songs that I don't have to read. I don't mind reading some songs, but isn't it nice every now and then to get a familiar song that you could just close your eyes and raise your hands? And thank you for blending those, because it's important. I don't mind reading songs and waiting on arrangements, but sometimes I'm waiting for this moment that I can just release something to the Lord and walk into his presence. I love following the leader. That's the personal praise. I'm in the middle court, but I also want to go into the Holy of Holies, where I can go in by myself with Jesus. And so when we're talking about this, David wanted to create an environment that was so intentional that when the glory of the Lord began to settle, that people could just walk right into the presence and the glory of God.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have 4 ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee, 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
Now, even as an old man, David was committed to this because he did this for 33 years. Listen to what he says in Psalm 71. Oh God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now, I love this. I wish there were some people tonight that would grab a hold of this. My age, above, below, whatever age you are. Anybody with gray hair, right? Which I do qualify. I've just, anyway, I have my own secrets. I'll give you the number if you want the bottle. I don't mind telling you that. All right. Oh God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, oh God, do not forsake me until, somebody say until I declare your strength to this generation and your power to everyone who is to come. God, don't let me die until I've shown the younger generation how to worship. God, don't let me die until I teach them the songs I know. Don't let me die, God, until my children have seen the miracles that I have seen. God, don't let me die until they can dwell in an altar call. The kind of altar calls that changed my life and wrecked me and put me on a good path. God, don't let me die until the next generation can experience God the way I experience God. A few weeks ago, I was preaching at North Cleveland Church right up the street here. And at the end of the service, I gave an altar call. And this wasn't to my surprise, but it was an amazing thing to witness. The altars filled up. The first people in the altar was the Lee University students. And they literally filled up the altars all these Lee kids. And when everybody else got tired and went back to their seat, they stayed and they lingered and they prayed. And when everybody was going home, you know who was still in the altars? Those Lee University kids were still in the altar saying, God, I need to see what they've been talking about. I want a touch of God in my life. I'm telling you, there is a generation that is hungry for a move of God. They are way past internet sermons and jokes in the pulpit and 3 points in a poem. They are way past 18 minutes of worship and standing up and sitting down when nothing has happened. They want the glory. They want a move of God in their life that'll change them and wreck them. I'm telling you, I stand before you tonight telling you that I have been in worship services that stained me so much, I still can't get away from them. My mind can take me right back to the moment, and I can walk right into that place in a spiritual realm. I have seen the glory of God fall, and I've seen the presence of God fall. That's what changed me. Listen, I wasn't in a perfect church. I grew up in legalism, where everything was wrong, and your hair was too long, and you couldn't wear shorts, and all of that, and they really got hung up on that stuff. But you know what? There's a lot of kids left because of all the legalism. But you know what I remember? I don't remember the legalism as much as I remember that somehow in our broken vessels, somehow in our mixed up thinking, somehow in all of our bondage, we were able to touch the hem of his garment and be made whole. And I remember being moved as a child under the power of God and the presence of God. I remember as an 8-year-old little boy standing in the little Dallas Church of God in Dallas, Georgia, and my hands, the guy right beside of me, you might have heard of him, his name is Brian Free. He was in my church. He's now a Southern gospel singer, and we were standing there seeking for the Holy Ghost at the same time, and my little hands, my little 8-year-old hands were up in the air, and my Sunday school teacher, Barbara Hansard, was right beside of me, and I remember they were all praying for people, and she walked up and just laid a gentle hand upon me, and I can tell you, it's just like it happened yesterday when the Spirit of God rushed over me. And as an 8-year-old boy, I lifted up my voice and began to pray in tongues. I don't care what you think about children getting filled with the Holy Ghost. It was real. It was so real. It changed my life. I woke up speaking in tongues in the middle of the night, and I was changed from that moment to this moment. I can take you to the place. I can take you to the time. I have been in the goodness of God, the presence of God, the power of God, and I do not want to die until my children and my children's children get as stained in God's presence as I was. Oh God, don't let us die, God. Don't let it die with me. Don't let my song die with me. Don't let my prayer life die with me. Let them hear me pray. Let them watch me worship. Let them see my passion, God. Whatever it takes, God, let me pass it along to the next generation, because I want to tell you, they are ready to receive it. They are hungry for God. They are looking for answers. They want God to move. How many of you will say with me tonight, God, don't let me die until I give my shout away. Don't let me die till I give my gift away. Don't let me die till I train another generation to worship in the ways of the Lord. Hallelujah.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand his kingdom around the world.